Well, tonight I would like us to focus on verses 5 and 6, where it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What we have here in Hebrews chapter 11 is an outline of the heroes of the faith. Paul is directing us to those who had faith in God, who God was able to use in mighty ways, and that these ones here believed God. They took God at his word. And as they took God at his word, God was faithful unto them, directing their lives and blessing them. And as we look at this chapter here tonight, I want us also to be encouraged in our faith, so that our faith in Christ would increase. We have a risen Savior. There is one who is making intercession for us today. There is one who is praying for you, who is concerned for your needs, knows your struggles, but also wants to provide for you. And my goal tonight is that we would see Jesus, that we would see one who loves us, one who gave himself for us, one who wants to and will supply our needs. May we have faith in him. Now, if we were to define the word faith, how would you define it? I mean, we have the acrostic, forsaking all, I trust him. But when it comes to the word of God, faith is used in three ways. First, it is an act of belief. We see the word of God as that which pertains to the Lord himself, his revelation to us. And because it is the word of God, I take him at his word and I act on that. I do not ignore the word, but I am one who will believe it. I will act upon it. I will follow it. Faith. I believe. It's an act of belief. But it's also a body of truth. We follow the faith that is delivered unto us. There is a body of truth that we need to follow. It's that which God has revealed to us, that his truth that we are always to keep in mind when we are going through our daily living. So that body of truth, that which we believe, if we are to be good Christians, good believers, what is it that we are to believe concerning God? He has revealed that to us. And then the fact that God is faithful unto us. He is reliable. He proves himself dependable even unto his people. And when you come to chapter 11, we have here a list of people that saw that he was reliable. Because God had moved within their hearts and lives, God revealed himself to them. They said, if you are going to be my God, then I am going to follow after you. I will give my heart and my life to you, and you will use me to the best of my ability. And may that be our desire tonight, that we take God at his word and that he uses us to the best of the abilities that he's granted unto us. Because each and every one of us have gifts. Each and every one of us have abilities to some degree or another in various areas. And God is delighted to use us. He is delighted to use our gifts. He's delighted to use our abilities. But it comes down to, I will walk with him. I will follow him. I will believe in him. And as I do so, he will use me. But what do we do in the daily grind of this Christian life? Because there's ups and downs. There's times when we're fervent, but there's also times of dearth, there's times of coldness, there's times of challenges. And as we look here in the life of Enoch, it says that he was one who pleased God. That's the first thing. He was one who pleased God. And because he pleased God, because he believed in God, God blessed him extraordinarily. He translated him, it says, transferred him from earth to heaven. He had a special privilege. Now, that may seem very unique, but there's one day when we also will be translated. We will be there in heaven. Now, Christ has gone to prepare a place for each and every one of us. And as sure as Enoch is there with the Lord, and Enoch is alive today, I assure you of that. You and I also, we live. We have a blessed hope of life. But may the Lord then encourage us, even though we are struggling at times, we go through the trials of life, things are not always easy. May the Lord encourage us in declaring that He is with us. And that as Enoch walked with God, may that also be our experience, to be a people who walk with God daily. Because as life is not easy, remember, we have a God who's very powerful, a God who is on our side, a God who supplies needs, and one who desires to increase our faith in Him. I mean, how many times have you come before the Lord and you've prayed earnestly and the Lord has answered powerfully? I mean, has that been your experience? The Lord has answered you. Because we have a relationship with one who is living, a living relationship. And that God certainly is looking out for His people. But may it be our experience that we would walk with Him in a daily way that's consistent. We need that consistency in our Christian life. And that's very challenging. In fact, Jonathan Edwards, he said this, that too many people are religious only by fits and starts. Now, if you know Jonathan Edwards, he was used very powerfully by the Lord in colonial New England, bringing revival to that land, to that place. Well, he goes on to say this as well. He said, like the waters in the time of a shower of rain, which during the shower and a little after run like a brook and flow abundantly, but they are presently quite dry. And when another shower comes, then they will flow again. Whereas a true saint is like a stream from a living spring, which though it may be greatly increased by a shower of rain and diminished in time of drought, yet it constantly runs. Christ dwells in the hearts of believers. He is a well of living water. We have a well of living water that we draw from. And we don't just draw from that well on the Lord's Day. We can draw from that well on Monday when we have to go to work and we know that we're facing many responsibilities and many challenges. We can draw from that well on Tuesday when we have difficult decisions to make. That well is available on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and every Saturday, every day of the week. God shows Himself reliable. And as we walk from day to day to day, may it not be that our Christian experience is by fits and starts, where we're going on well one moment and then we're backslidden the next, going on well and backslidden, but that it would be like a stream from a living spring that flows within our hearts. He's there with us. He is there within your heart and within your life. You just need to make sure that you're seeking Him constantly and He will bless you. And so, could we say that we would be like Enoch, one who walked with God? Now, when we look at the life of Enoch from Scripture, there's not a lot spoken about him. We just have a few texts. There's the text here in Hebrews that we read, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 5. There's also Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 to 24. And he's mentioned in Jude, verse 14 and 15. He is called the seventh from Adam to identify him as the godly Enoch, since Cain had a son of the same name in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. So obviously he was a godly man, one who pleased God. God was pleased with him. He had entered into a relationship with God because in his daily life he sought God and God was pleased with him. Especially in a society that was rapidly being polluted and destroyed by sin, Enoch, he did not go in the way of the crowd. He walked with his God, kept his life clean. But he also ministered as a prophet and announced the coming judgment. That's what you have there in Jude, verses 14 and 15. That the Lord would come with his saints and that he would judge the world, a wicked world that had rebelled against the Lord. So tonight, as we look at this person, Enoch, I'd like to consider Enoch's walk of faith as an example for us in our walk of faith, that it would be that which is steady and sure. May the Lord help us have a consistency in our Christian life, that even though at times things are dark or things are bright, times when we're in the valley or the mountaintop, no matter where we are in life, God is with us and he is there showing himself reliable. Now, first of all, Enoch's walk with God led to extraordinary blessings. And, I mean, that's the thing about being a child of God. It leads to blessings in knowing God, because God certainly provides for his people. Enoch's story is told in Genesis chapter 5. And I'll invite you to turn there, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18, and then verses 21 to 24. It says, "And Jared lived 162 years. He begat Enoch." Verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 180 years, begat Lamech." And Lamech, as you know, goes on to be in the line of Noah. And we know Noah also to be a righteous man. And so here, Enoch was not only a man who's concerned for himself and his own walk with God, but obviously he was one who taught his children that they would be ones who would walk with the Lord, down to Noah being the only righteous man in his world. You can imagine there would have been a great population at that time. But yet here is a line that walks with God. And because this line walked with God, this was the line that was preserved. God preserves those who trust in him. And that's an extraordinary blessing, isn't it? To know that God will preserve me. God will keep me and protect me and watch over me. I'm not alone. Because as you go out in this world, at times it can be very scary and very frightening. And we wonder, okay, if I have a problem, an issue, something that I need to deal with, how am I going to get through that issue? How am I going to get through that problem? Ah, there's one I can go to. There's one I can pray to. There's one who is all powerful. There's one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can give me what I need, and he knows what I need, not what I want. Remember, he doesn't provide greed, he provides need. He knows what I need, and he will provide it for me. And he will protect me and keep me into the time he calls me home. That's the blessing of being a saint, one who is called by God, to know that his hand is upon us. I know when I look at my own life, there has been many times when I thought, this is it. I'm a goner. The Lord is, this is my time. He's going to take me home. I loved motorcycles. I was constantly racing around on them. I really should have been on a track somewhere, not on the street. I was probably a great hazard to myself and a hazard to the people that were around me. And I remember many times when I thought, I'm going too fast and I can't stop in the right way and I'm going to crash. And several times I did crash. But obviously that was not my time. The Lord meant for me to be here tonight and to speak to you people. The Lord has a purpose for us. And he will keep us. He will watch over us. He will protect us until the time he calls us home. We can have confidence in that. We can have confidence in God. He preserves his people. And when you think about Enoch and his line, Noah, I mean, what did God protect him from? What did God protect Noah from? I mean, even here in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of Noah, doesn't it? In verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." God warned him. God was protecting him from his own wrath. God's wrath was going to be poured out upon the world. There was a generation of wicked men who have forsook the Lord, who did not call upon the name of the Lord. God's wrath was going to be poured out in that flood. And here is Enoch's godly line. God will protect that line. God will protect his people. And the ark was the vehicle of safety at that point. It was God who brought his people into the ark, saving them and protecting them. And as you and I trust in Jesus Christ, is he not our Savior? Is he not the one who saves us from the wrath of God, protecting us and shielding us? Remember, the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when the blood is applied to our hearts, he passes over us. The wrath of God is not poured out upon you and upon me. We're safe. We're protected. As the winds blew and the rain came down upon that ark, and as the waters swelled that whole area, mankind was destroyed. And those who were in the ark were safe, protected by God. It was God who brought them in, God who watched over them and provided for them while they were there, God who brought them safely to land when it was over. You know, when it comes time for us to cross over the Jordan, comes time to us to know the Lord, meet him personally, face to face, he will say to us, "You're in my Son. I loved you. And because you're in Christ, you're safe. You're mine. You're my child. Welcome thou into the joy of thy Lord." We have extraordinary blessing. Extraordinary blessing. Because even as Enoch was translated, as Enoch was a man who met God face to face. And in fact, the scriptures speak of only two men who had this privilege. Enoch being one of them who did not see death. Elijah being the other man. Remember, he was taken by a whirlwind. He was taken by a chariot into heaven. These two men, they saw God directly. They're alive today. They're living. We also who trust in Jesus Christ, we'll be living. We'll be living for eternity. And we will be rejoicing in God's provision. But Enoch's walk with God was also that which was commended. It was that which pleased God. I mean, we can have the testimony of man that, you know, you are a good person. You are a generous person. You're a helpful person. We can have the praise of men all we want. But if we do not have the well done of God, we're lost. We need to have the well done of that one who lives in the glory. And we're told here, as he was one who pleased God, it was that which led to his blessing of being translated. It says there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, before this happened, before this event, he had this testimony. He had a testimony that he pleased God. In the book of Genesis, it says that he walked with God. It was his priority to make his manner of living that which was directed by the command of the Lord, the direction of the Lord in his life. And so instead of saying Enoch had walked with God, as it says here in Hebrew, the Greek has it that he was well pleasing to God. He walked with God, Old Testament. And here it says that he pleased God. He pleased God. A man who had a testimony that God was happy with him. And that's why the Lord blessed him in such a degree. You and I have a testimony. If we are believers, if we love the Lord, you have a testimony. I have a testimony. And what is that testimony? That in the time when God revealed himself to us in his word through preaching, through a brother or a sister who witnessed to us of the love of Jesus Christ, when we came face to face with God, we stopped in our tracks. We said, I'm a sinner. I am lost. I need the Lord. And I believed. I accepted. I came. And because I believed, I accepted, I came, Jesus Christ came into my life and my heart. And remember, it's just what I said this morning. Because God is pleased with Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ did that which was always pleasing to the Father. I mean, wasn't the Father's testimony of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. He's well pleased with his Son. Jesus Christ lived that perfect, obedient life unto the Father. And because God is perfectly pleased with his Son, you and I who are in Christ, God is perfectly pleased with us as well. He must be. He can't turn us away. He can't be displeased with us. Christ said, these ones are mine. I intercede on their behalf. I give them life. Father gives them unto me. And those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. He cannot cast us out. We have a testimony that we please God because Jesus has the same testimony that he pleased God. Because Jesus has that testimony, you and I are in Christ also please him. And because of that, we live and we have life. Now, as we have that testimony then, certainly it becomes incumbent upon us to live it day by day by day. It's not that we come to faith in Jesus Christ and then forget about it and forget about him. We need to live for him day by day by day, to walk with him. Enoch made it his habit, made it his desire to have his manner of living, that which conformed to God's truth. And thus, as you and I confess the name of Jesus, yes, he's my Lord, he's my master, I want to follow him. So thus, I follow him on Monday, I follow him on Tuesday, I follow him on Wednesday. Lord, help me to be consistent, not that I'm just here on the Lord's day, looking good to those who are around me. Make me to look good on Monday, when I'm not feeling so good, when I'm feeling tired, when I'm feeling irritable, when I feel like I just got out of the wrong side of the bed and I should have stayed in bed. And why am I leaving my house? I shouldn't be leaving my house today. I don't feel very well. But we have a testimony. We have a testimony. And we don't just show that testimony to other believers. We show that testimony to those who are outside the church. I mean, you've heard this many times, that people don't read the Bible, but they read the Christian. And they're watching and they're looking at you. And every time that you're not consistent, well, they just say, oh, here's so-and-so. They say they're a Christian. And look, they're doing this. And they're doing that. And that's not very good. We have a testimony. May the Lord help us to live it. May the Lord help us to live clean lives in this world. And I came across one story that highlights this very well. There was a writer who visited a coal mine. And as he's there, touring around the coal mine, you know that coal mines are not exactly clean places. They're actually very dirty. But as he was there, at the entrance of this coal mine, there was a perfectly white flower growing by the side of the entrance. The author and the other visitors with him, they were astonished by this. I mean, how is it that a plant could remain white when everything around them is covered with coal, covered with this residue? Everything's black. But here, in this blackness, was a very white flower. And the coal dust continually blew and settled, but it never settled on the plant. In fact, as the people watched, a miner, he took some black coal dust and he threw it on the plant. But nothing would stick to it. The visitors, they repeated the experiment, but the dust would not cling to it. Nothing could stain the plant's snowy whiteness. Nothing could make that plant other than white. And what do we learn from that? I mean, this certainly illustrates that every Christian's life should be very much like that. I mean, we live in a world that is in the darkness of sin. Every generation has struggled with sin. We live in a cursed world where men love darkness rather than light. But Jesus Christ was gracious unto us. He shone his light into our hearts. We reflect that light. And though we're in this world and we live in a corrupt world, a rebellious world, a world that is stained by sin, you and I are not stained by sin. We have the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us from all sin. And as we are a people that have been washed and cleansed and made clean by the work of Jesus Christ, so we reflect that life to others. and as we reflect a testimony of holiness unto the Lord to others, we pray that the Lord would use our testimony to touch other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to be consistent. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, we don't just minister to folks on Sunday. We minister to people every day. We look for opportunities every day. We reach out to souls every day. But our first desire should be, Lord, keep me clean in this corrupt world. Keep me pure. Help me to guard my eyes. Help me to guard my ears. May nothing come into my life that will corrupt me or mar my testimony or mar my relationship with you. Lord, help me to live pure in this world. That's what you want from me. That's how you want me to live. That is your desire, Lord. Not my will, but thy will. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. That means he was a white flower in a coal mine. You and I are white flowers in a coal mine. Although everything is black and dark around us, we are living the life of Jesus Christ in purity. Not going the way of the world, but we are going the way of our Savior, our God, because that's what we need to do if we will please God. May the Lord help us please Him. And of course, we can only please Him by faith. I mean, that's what this chapter is all about, isn't it? It's a chapter of faith. Before each and every one of these names, you have two words. And what are those words? By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, all these people lived their lives. They walked with God. And although the Old Testament does not say directly that Enoch had faith, the author goes on to explain why he could speak of it so confidently. Because it is impossible to please God. Enoch pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If we are to please Him, it must be by faith. Acting on what He said. Not just taking mental assent of these things, but making it the whole of our lives, that I will believe with my whole life and heart that God is real. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He exists. He's real. He's not a figment of our imagination. Man did not just come up with God. Men did not just write this book. Men moved by the Holy Spirit wrote this book. God revealing Himself to man as that which truly exists. And because He's real, and because we believe that He's real, He rewards us. He rewards them that diligently seek Him, not just seek Him with the half heart, but seek Him with all their heart. I need to know God. I need to have a relationship with God. I need to know Jesus. He must be my Savior personally, not just someone else's Savior. He's got to be my Savior. His blood has to wash me and cleanse me from my sin. If He doesn't wash and cleanse me from my sin, I'm lost. I have to diligently seek Him. And we know from the Word of God that He's gracious and merciful unto those that seek Him. He is of a heart of a great forgiveness for those that seek Him. There's no sin great enough to take away His forgiveness. He forgives great sin. When we confess that sin, when we seek Him to forgive us of our sins, and we seek Him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, He is faithful and just to do so. Because we humble ourselves and we realize, I need You, Lord. You're my everything. And when I diligently seek Him, He rewards me. And what's the first reward? What's the first reward that Enoch experienced? That's life. Eternal life. He gives His people life. And we only have that by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We cannot please Him without believing that he's real, that he exists. We cannot please him unless we take him at his word, that this is real. This is not just fiction. It's not just stories that people have written over thousands of years. Because he's real, because his word is real, I will believe it, I will follow it. He rewards and he blesses his people. May we be those who take him at his word. And when we come to pray, also, we take him at his word. When we seek him, we take him at his word. I mean, how many times have you prayed in the last little while? And you prayed over something and you thought, well, maybe this just isn't something God will help me with. Maybe God is not just going to provide this. Maybe God. And there's those little doubts that sneak into the heart. Those little doubts that say, well, I'm going to pray for this, but is it really going to come to pass? Is it really going to happen? Is the Lord really going to provide? There were missionaries named Robert and Mary. And they labored for 10 years in Buchanan Land. I don't know if you've heard of that place. I had never heard of Buchanan Land. And I Googled Buchanan Land. And I went, what is this place, Buchanan Land? It was actually the name for Botswana in southern Africa before it became Botswana. It was called Buchanan Land. So here are these missionaries. They're laboring in southern Africa. And they labored for 10 years without any converts. And that's a long time. I mean, my wife and I, we have been in London for 2 years. And we've labored there. And those 2 years seem like a long time. I couldn't imagine 10 years without any fruit in your ministry, any fruit from your work. It would have been very dry. But a friend from England sent word to Mary asking if she wanted something, if she needed a gift, and if they should send her a gift, what was it that she wanted? What did you need? What would help you? And her response was, send a communion service. It will be sure to be needed. They wanted a communion service. Now remember, they hadn't had any converts. There was no church. It was basically just them laboring amongst the African people. But yet, what is her desire? A communion service. We're going to need this because we're not giving up here. We believe God will work. We take God at his word. And because we take him at his word, we're diligently seeking him, and he will reward us. And at last, the breath of the Lord moved in the heart of those people. A little group of six were united in the first Christian church. And did you know that that communion service came just in time for their first communion service? The Lord provided. The Lord blessed their faith. He encouraged them. Even when things didn't seem like they were going anywhere at all. God is a God who answers prayer. Don't forget that. May we pray with a heart of faith. Take him at his word. Believe in him. And he will bless you. I mean, there was a church congregation that had met to pray for rain during a time of drought. And as they met together in the church, the minister got up before the people. And he said, brothers and sisters, you know why we're here. We need to come and we need to pray for rain. Now, I want to know this. Where is your umbrella? How come you didn't bring your umbrellas? I mean, we don't come here just to pray. We come here to prove God. And if we're going to pray for rain, you better bring your umbrellas next time. I want to see umbrellas. Because God is a God who not only hears prayer, but he answers prayer. When you pray for something, or when you seek God for something, make sure to take out your umbrella. And don't expect a little sprinkle either. Didn't he not say that he will open up the windows of heaven? He'll pour out a blessing, so much so that there won't even be room enough to receive it all. May the Lord grant us that faith. We would walk with him to such a degree as Enoch walked with God, pleasing God. May the Lord help us to do that very thing. My time is going on here. But when you look at Jude, Enoch is declaring the judgment upon this world of sin. We don't play around with the Lord. God has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I mean, you have two options in your life. Either you please God or you don't please God. There's no third option, fourth option. We don't play multiple choice in our relationship with the Lord. And if you are to please God tonight, make sure that you are in Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord and your Savior. And as you walk with the Lord, remember, God is pleased with you in Jesus. God is pleased with Christ. You're in Christ. God is pleased with you. And because of that, you can have every confidence when you seek Him in the place of prayer, when you seek Him for the needs of your life. God will show Himself real. God will increase your faith. He will bless you. Don't ever give up. Even perhaps you've been seeking God for some time for something and He hasn't answered immediately. God will answer. Because God, He knows our needs better than we do. And He knows how to best answer those needs. And so it was by faith that Enoch was taken to heaven. He believed God. He walked with God. And he went to be with God. Which is an example for all of us to follow. But Enoch's life of faith wasn't a private thing, for he boldly announced that God would come to judge the world's sins. God would come powerfully. You imagine living in the days of the flood. If you weren't on that ark, you knew the power of God's wrath. You experienced it firsthand as that water came rushing upon you. You know, there's a day coming when everything around us, and when you see these things, even in this building, in this place, are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. Who can stay the wrath of the living God? May we humble ourselves. May we seek His forgiveness. May we seek His life. May we seek His Son. And as we seek Christ, we walk with Him, we will have this testimony that we please God. He will be one to give us life, give us a future, give us a hope. And as you look down here at Hebrews chapter 11, and you see the words by faith, by faith, by faith, can these words, by faith, be next to your name? Remember, these were ordinary people. There was nothing special about them, apart from the fact that they had a relationship with God. You and I have a relationship with God when we're in Jesus. May it be that we have, by faith, I served Him with all my life. I served Him with my gifts. I served Him with my abilities. The life that He gave me, I made it count for something. I didn't just waste the years that God gave me. I made it count. By faith, I go forward with God. May that be your testimony. May that be my testimony. By faith, I will seek Him. I will have faith in Him. Because as it says there in verse 6, by faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We'll end our message there. Trust in the Lord will bless His word to our